This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I'm speaking with a couple of fantastic women leaders. I've got Wendy Wilson, who's part of Missio Nexus, the Mission Agency Association, and I've got Karen Primeth, yes, with she's a board member of Asian Access, and then she's also with Vision Synergy. The CEO of Vision Synergy. So they've got some top-of-the-line women leaders here with me, and we're going to discuss that very issue, women in leadership. Wendy, why do women have such a hard time in Christian circles? I guess it seems like there's a stereotype to me that women shouldn't be in leadership. Have you encountered this in your ministry, or what do you see in general?
Well, you know, Missio Nexus has probably about 200 different members that are all kind of in different places on that spectrum of where women are encouraged to serve. And so it is quite a broad subject. But I would say that Missio Nexus is really desiring to help more agencies steward well the gifts of their women. And a lot of agencies are actually wanting to embrace more women as in their leadership structures before the kinds of perspectives that they bring to make the whole organism more effective. So part of my role is to help them figure out ways to do that. Even though they want more women, perhaps, in their leadership roles, that they're finding that they don't know where they are, that they're having trouble finding them. So we're asking, why on earth would that be the case? It's not like you can just open the door and find one and plunk them in the boardroom or whatever, but especially for staff and leadership decision-making roles. So one of the things we're trying to address is how do we create development pathways for women early on through the different life stages and transitions that maybe are more unique to a woman's life that may be different than a man's pathway. And part of that means providing development opportunities for them all along their life stages and transitions, whether or not they even know they have leadership gifting at a certain time. But as they come into understanding where their gifting is, what they care about, and then practice that along the way, they begin to gain more confidence and more vision for how they can serve. And other people also notice what they're doing and how they're able to serve. So that's a pathway in particular to also finding more women who are able to serve in their gifting and in the particular areas of leadership that our agencies need. But this might be an area Karen can speak to too, because in terms of her own pathway into leadership as a woman.
Sure. I've been in this role of CEO at Vision Synergy for about 3 years, and it's been a fairly surprising journey for me, as I've discovered for many women, I think, who move into more of an executive position. It certainly wasn't something I aspired to. I didn't start out, you know, as a young woman and say, someday I want to be the CEO of a mission organization. And I think for many women who move, especially within a Christian ministry or mission context, they aren't necessarily aspiring to a role like that. It's very often a fairly meandering journey, and eventually they may be asked into a position because their leadership gifts have been recognized. And therefore, they're invited into a role rather than necessarily set out to really try to get there. And I know that's certainly been the case for me. From an early age, I had lots of opportunities to step into leadership roles growing up, and very naturally gravitated to those kinds of roles and responsibilities. And I was very fortunate to not really have gender be an issue in my growing up years. So I never felt like being a woman was a barrier or was prevented me from stepping into opportunities for leadership, both in school, in church, in ministry. And that, I know, is very different for many other women who may feel like there are a lot of other barriers for them to step into those kinds of roles. But because of that, I began to get leadership experience along the way, and just that's where I found myself. And it was a natural place to be, and learned a lot about how to manage others and how to affirm their gifting and how to encourage other leaders to grow. And then... You know, really, as I as my life seasons changed and I got married, And I had my children, you know, went through that decision-making process of am I going to step out of a work context and stay home with my kids? And I really felt like that was something I wanted to do. But I think in doing that, I never really thought that was going to not mean I couldn't continue to play a leadership role in lots of different ways. And so even in the years that my children, well, when my first child was 13 weeks old, we were heading off to live in another country, and I was in full-time language school, and I continued to build a lot of skills in those years, even as a young mom. And I didn't feel like I had to step out of other kinds of leadership development opportunities. And I think that's one thing I would encourage women who have a sense of giftedness in and really feel God's blessing and enjoy being in a role where they're providing leadership, that they continue to nurture those skills and abilities, even if they make life decisions to step out of formal roles of responsibilities. Because I think there's a lot of ways we can grow and nurture our own strengths and capacity, even as we're raising our kids. And so I got very involved in volunteering in my church. I stepped into volunteer leadership roles. I took my kids with me. They were along for all those things. And then I got very involved in my community and began moving more and more into leadership roles in our community and PTA and all those things that, you know, are very natural for lots of women to step into. And those provided tremendous opportunities for training. I mean, learning how to organize events, learning how to facilitate very diverse meetings, public speaking. I mean, that all happened within a volunteer context for me. And so as my kids began to get older and I began to have more time to do things, very naturally, when I stepped back into a work part-time work originally and then began to go back to work full-time, I already had a lot of momentum going. It wasn't so shocking to kind of step back into the world of work where I just felt like I don't really belong here. So I think, you know, for a lot of women who are making those decisions to stay home with their kids, which is, I think there's lots of women who are choosing that path and women who are not choosing that path and are trying to navigate both worlds. And I think that has a lot to do with how you're wired and how you sense God leading you. I don't think there's one way that's right and that we want to encourage women to find the way that really works for them and for their family. But to realize that if you are drawn to be in a role to provide leadership in some kind of context, to look for ways to see how God would open the door for you to be able to use those gifts. Okay.
Well, I like the idea of, you talk about sometimes the barriers, and in you know, in your case, you talk about even those, we can tend to see those years at home with our kids as a barrier to progress, but you didn't. And I love that idea that, because I've talked with a lot of young women, the way they feel like that's going to be a barrier to their pathway forward, and they don't often value those volunteer experiences and things they do with the kids while they're at home as legitimate ways to continue to add to their resume and to their skill sets. And just last week I was talking with a young woman who her kids are about 5 or 6, and she said, I want to start kind of getting back into some things. I'm really worried about getting back into the workplace. And she says, I know this doesn't really count. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. These are significant roles that you're filling and that really do require skill sets, and people that do them well, everybody benefits. And so don't undervalue those volunteer experiences during those kinds of years. But when you talk about barriers, some other kinds of barriers that women face, you'd said, you know, especially in evangelical organizations or Christian organizations, sometimes it's related to theology. What we're trying to really look at too is to help organizations consider whether it really is an issue of theology, or maybe is it more of an issue just of tradition or culture. It's just sort of the way we've always done it, and maybe we kind of wed it to our theology, but maybe it isn't all wed to the theology, and everybody has to figure their way through that. But some of the ways that we have kind of approached roles, leadership as a role that typically we see men doing, we don't see as many women doing, because perhaps the way, you know, the cultures we grew up in, whether it's our family culture, there were certain roles that just became natural to the way we think about those things, our church cultures, our community cultures, and that's true all the way around the world. Whatever culture you grow up in, you kind of learn what women do and what men do. And so I think it's helpful to kind of try to evaluate those local community cultures and family cultures and say, are these just the things that we have always done, or is this really something that God has spoken to in His Word in particular? So there's those kind of traditional cultural, are these just ways we've gotten used to doing things? And then there's sometimes the structural barriers, just in terms of how organizations organize themselves that tend to not be as women-friendly. And we've talked about things like policies and procedures, the way we talk about job descriptions. So things even as simple as, do they all use male pronouns? You know, he, him, a man, just by using maybe gender neutral words or mixing he and she, that to make these documents feel more accessible to women too, it's talking to me too, rather than making perhaps just the way it sounds that they feel excluded. And even to think about job descriptions, the way we think about this job being done. Is it something that can be adjusted? The same job can get done, but maybe done another way that can provide some of the flexibility, you know, that a woman can maybe participate through life stages as well. Or even with the concerns, one of the barriers often that women have is concern over the life, the family work balance. And I know men get concerned about that too, but it seems to me it's something that women probably always will be a little bit more concerned about just because of how they're wired, the things they care about a little differently. And so the organizations have to be considering more, are there ways we can do things that can allow women to participate with some of the flexibility that they're going to get the job done, but it may be flexible hours, a project type basis rather than a position type basis. So structurally, there's things that we can do differently, and then there's just, you know, kind of personal barriers, and Karin spoke to that as well, of things that are important to us, maybe the way a certain organization, what they require in terms of travel, being away, how they want the job done, that is somehow is in conflict with kind of maybe a woman's or a couple's values about how they kind of want to live. Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's just personal barriers. It's like, this isn't going to work for me, you know, for my own reasons. So I tend to like to try to focus on those areas, sort of the traditional cultural, the structural, and the personal. If we can think through those, probably a lot of barriers would kind of dissolve rather than be unnamed and kind of just sort of keeping us out. Because as I said, I think more and more organizations really are wanting that. Maybe a surprise, but I think they really do want more women in those roles because they realize in the image of God they're hearing better overall when men and women together problem solve.